the common expression for innovative thinking or new approaches is to say, to think outside the box. I'm sure you've heard that expression. It's so common now that it's part of the box. Everybody says it. Think outside the box. So it's the way of saying, take a new approach, try something that you haven't tried before, be creative. Break out of the rigidity of the old ways. Think outside the box. I think this expression, even though it's an old expression now, applies to today's readings, or we can use it to reflect on, to ponder today's readings, because the ultimate outside-the-box experience is the coming of Jesus. Jesus is so far outside the box that no one could have thought of anything like it. God himself had to create a whole new box. You think of the way Jesus has come into the world. Many prophets and servants of God came through miraculous birth. There's many, in the Old Testament, there are many stories of women who were childless, barren, old, and God allowed them to bear a child. It was a sign of God doing something new. But when it comes to Jesus, he didn't choose an old or barren woman. He chose a virgin. That was a completely new thing. A virgin to have a child. And then to make it even clearer, not just any virgin, but an immaculate virgin, a sinless virgin. That's outside the box. So here's Jesus. He's come into the world. He's begun his public ministry. And people are trying to figure out who he is. We saw this yesterday. Herod the Tetrarch was saying, well, who is this? People are saying it's John the Baptist. It's not John the Baptist. I had him beheaded. Who is it? The same question comes up in today's gospel. Jesus himself asks it, who do the people say that I am? And he gets the same answers, John the Baptist, maybe Elijah, maybe one of the prophets of old. You see what's happening here, in order to identify Jesus, people are thinking of the categories that already existed. Well, there's prophets, maybe he's a prophet. There's Elijah, he's supposed to come again, maybe he's Elijah. John the Baptist is still fresh in our minds. Maybe he's John the Baptist. All those answers are still inside the box. They are conventional thinking. Jesus turns to them and says, well, what do you think? Are you thinking the same? Am I just another one of these prophets that come every once in a while? Peter gives the answer, you're the Christ of God. You're the anointed one, the Messiah, which to Peter and to the apostles was a big stretch. They thought they were thinking outside the box. You're the Messiah. You're the one that had been promised, the one that we've been awaiting. That's as far as they could go. And it's correct as far as it goes. But even that is not far enough, because the idea of Messiah was too small. The box was too small. That's why Jesus says, well, yes, but not the Messiah, yes, but not the way you think of a Messiah. I'm a suffering Messiah, I'm a Messiah who's come to offer his life. It says here that after Peter gave his reply, the Christ of God, Jesus rebuked them. When I read this last night, I said, that can't be the right translation. Why would he rebuke them for getting the right answer? So in Matthew's gospel, Jesus honors him. He says, well, you didn't come up with that. The Father revealed this to you. So How can he, in one gospel, say that that's a revelation of the Father, and in another gospel, in Luke, he rebukes him? So I looked it up in some other translations. Most translations say he warned them, or he charged them, or he ordered them not to tell anybody. It's a different thing than to say he rebuked them. So I think this is probably an unfortunate translation. Because to rebuke means to correct, to say you got it wrong. But in fact, what he's saying is, yes, it's right, but I'm telling you sternly, I'm warning you not to tell anybody this, because even though you have the right answer, you don't understand the answer. The key thing here, and the key thing in our whole religion, is the identity of Jesus Christ. Who is he? If we get this right, our whole life and everything that we're doing here changes. If we get it wrong, our whole religion falls apart. If Jesus is just another one of the holy guys that comes along once in a while, well then, big deal. It doesn't make any difference. You've got whoever, Gandhi, you've got whoever, Confucius, you've got Jesus, these guys come up once in a while and they all have good things to say. That doesn't change the world, that doesn't change our life. But if he is the Christ of God, if he is God in the flesh, that changes everything. And our response to him has to be completely different. In fact, it's quite challenging. The identity of Jesus, that's like the point of a spear or the edge of a sharp knife. Either he is everything to us or he's not that important to us. We know the answer of the world. He's not that important. If you want to believe in him, you can, but it's not that important. But if he really is who he says he is, nothing else is important. He's the only thing that's important. You see, it's hard for Jesus to get this through to people because, again, we're thinking inside a box that's very small. So he uses expressions that are quite shattering, especially in John's gospel. You think of the I am statements. When he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. You're the branches. These are extraordinary things to say. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying things about himself that no one could ever say about himself. He's trying to get us to think outside the box. Okay, now this is the key thing, but we can see a preparation for it in today's first reading as well, a preparation for something completely new. This is from the prophet Haggai again, and he's addressing the people who have returned to Jerusalem, who have returned to the ruined city and the destroyed temple, and who have been given the charge of rebuilding. We saw yesterday that they weren't that interested in rebuilding because they just thought it was too big a job. Well, here's Haggai. He says to the people, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem like nothing in your eyes?" Yes, the temple that was glorious before is now nothing. It's ruins. The conventional way of thinking is to say, well, I guess let's rebuild it. Let's put it back together. Get these stones and pile them back up again. Kind of like our approach to the pandemic. Now, let's get past this and go back to the way it was. But many, many voices are saying, no, we can't go back. We have to think outside the box. We need a new approach to education, a new approach to how we shop, how we work, how we celebrate weddings and funerals and whatever. This is a new situation. We have to think differently. Well, here's Haggai saying, you saw how it was before and now it's nothing. Are you thinking that it's going to be the same when you get it rebuilt? The Lord says, no. I'm the one who's determining the new thing to come. And he says, greater will be the future glory of this house than the former. If you follow my new way, my new plan, I'm going to surpass what you have in your mind. If anyone thinks outside the box, it's the Lord, because he doesn't have a box. He creates boxes, and he thinks outside of them. He's completely free of any of the rigidity that we can sink into. He doesn't have a conventional way of thinking. He is. He simply is. So when we follow him, we can go far beyond anything we can come up with on our own. We don't have to be the innovators. We have to be faithful followers of the Lord, who takes us beyond ourselves, beyond anything we can come up with. So that's why this is an important prophecy, that God's plan for his house, his plan for our salvation, is far greater than anything we can come up with. So take courage. Take courage, all you leaders. Take courage, all you people. Take courage, all you priests. And work. Not the work that you have in mind, the work that I'm giving you. This then is the message for us. We might be creative. Some people are more innovative than others. But that's not the key thing. The key thing is fidelity to the Lord, who is a completely new element. The Lord Jesus is not just another prophet. He is God himself, who leads us into God's plan for humanity and for the world. So let us follow the Lord, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and the life. Follow the Lord. He's the Messiah who suffers and defeats suffering, who dies and defeats death, who ushers in a whole new way, a whole new life, the risen life. He's the Lord.